We have on the line here Mr. Paul Mueller. He's the head of Eastern Aleutian Tribes. And then we have Heidi Hedberg and Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz. They are with the COVID-19 Public Health Task Force, and they're going to be discussing the recent outbreak here in Sandpoint, Alaska of COVID-19, questions that you may have, that you may be asking yourself right now, things that we can do to help out, make sure that this is as safe as possible and as short as possible. So we're going to go live right now. And so we, again, just announce this one more time. We do have Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz, Mr. Paul Mueller, and Heidi Hedberg here. They're with the Public Task Force for COVID-19 and Eastern Aleutian Tribes, and they will be discussing the recent outbreak here in Sandpoint, Alaska. So, Mr. Mueller, we're going to hand it over right over to you.
I appreciate it, Austin. Thank you very much. And you know, we have Heidi Hedberg, and she's the Director of Public Health for the state of Alaska, Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz. And you used the word amazing, and that's what describes the two of them. They are amazing. They're amazing friends. When I was looking at the case counts about an hour ago, and as they're continuing to climb in Sandpoint, I said to myself, who can I call? And I phoned a friend. I called Heidi. And I said, Heidi, I need your help. I'd like to jump on the radio and help get some information out to the public, but really I need people smarter than me. And we've got them. Austin, we've got them on the line. We've got Heidi and Dr. Rabinowitz. Because a lot of the folks in Sandpoint, they're scared right now. Across the region, they're scared because it's not just affecting Sandpoint, it's affecting all the other parts of the region as people travel. And I wanted to bring these two together with on the radio to help Sandpoint understand that we do have a plan. There are strategies to keep people safe. So if I can hand it over to you, Heidi, and you and I have briefly discussed that the numbers are increasing. There was an event over the last week in Sandpoint, and from that gathering, essentially, that gathering, the cases have increased, and we're seeing them on a daily basis go up and up. So do you have any advice for Sandpointers and the rest of our Aleutian East Borough region and anyone else that's listening?
Yeah, thank you so much, Paul, for inviting us to come and talk with you. This is definitely a conversation, and so that I hope that we can share some information about what we're seeing statewide on COVID. And I'd also encourage, if you're able to submit questions, we would love to hear from you what some of your questions are so that we can really help really share the information and answer your questions. So first and foremost, what we're seeing across the state is an accelerated rate of cases. And I am so sorry to hear that Sandpoint right now has an outbreak. It's so unfortunate. I've traveled to your community many years ago, and I have very fond memories of Sandpoint. So the Aleutians definitely tug at my heart. So what we're seeing within COVID is that this spring, May and June, cases went down, and it was great. There was a lot of people getting vaccinated. The weather was good. We were outside. We were really enjoying the good weather. And what we saw is that over the course of the summer is that there's a variant. The variant is called Delta, and it started to spread across the world. And we have seen that the Delta variant came to Alaska late this summer, and as we sequenced, and we can talk about what sequencing is, we noticed that most of the positive cases that we are sequencing, about 80 to 90%, are all the Delta variant. The Delta variant is highly transmissible. So, for example, if I'm positive, that means that the Delta variant has an R-naught of 5 to 8, which means 5 to 8 other people may contract COVID. There's also called the wild type, which is sort of the original type. And that was last year all the way through the spring, the R-naught value was much lower, between 1 to 3. So what we know is while we all enjoyed low cases late spring, early summer, we saw the Delta variant come, and we saw that we're experiencing right now a huge incline in cases. What we do know is that there are strategies to help stop the spread and to address COVID. So first, we know vaccine is the answer. And I'm looking at our vaccine dashboard, and right now it shows that 87% of the population in the Aleutians East Borough has a first dose of vaccine, which is great. Thank you so much for getting vaccinated. We know when we get vaccinated that that's one more person, that it can stop the replication of the virus. And it can help. If the whole world was vaccinated, it would diminish the amount of times the virus is transmitted from person to person and the amount of variants that would change. And we can talk about variants a little bit later. But we know that people that are vaccinated, there is not 100%. So you can, it's called breakthrough cases. And so you can still get, you can still contract COVID. The chances are lower. And if you are a breakthrough case, we know that the symptoms are less, the chances of you being hospitalized are less, and the chances of dying are less. We do know that if you are unvaccinated, if you contract COVID, we know that the chances of being hospitalized are higher and the chances of death are higher. And we can talk about those statistics, but vaccine really is the answer. And there's a lot of questions about vaccine, and we're happy to answer those questions about vaccine. The second is that we know that in a community with high transmission, we have to have a layered approach. So we talk about what are some of the things that we can do to mitigate the spread of the virus. One of them is being outside, keeping small circles, wearing a mask is an option. Those are some of the things that we can do if there's high transmission. Testing is also really important. There's testing if you're symptomatic, and there's also surveillance testing where you're just trying to see, is there anything out there that is circulating? Let's be proactive in our community to make sure that once it enters, we can really be aggressive and contain that virus before it spreads. Testing has changed a lot. There's at-home tests. There's antigen tests that are much faster and quicker, so you don't have to take a swab and send it into Anchorage or to another lab. It's called a molecular test that takes time. And that's really important because the Delta variant, it's highly transmissible, and so it's important to know through testing how many people have it and to contain it as quickly as possible so that we can protect our families. And make sure that we stay healthy and happy. So I'll transition it over to Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz. She's a staff physician. She works in the emergency department at Providence, and she also works within our immunization program, and she helps answer questions about vaccine.
Yeah, thank you, Heidi. And I just wanted to, say to all of Sandpoint that we're sorry this is happening. We're seeing this, you know, all across Alaska, but Sandpoint has the tools to combat this. We just need to, you know, remember all these things that have worked for us through this pandemic and kind of go back to our mitigation techniques that we know work. And so I applaud the Eastern Aleutian Tribes for being really proactive and trying to get information out there to everyone. One thing I wanted to add on to what Heidi has said is that you have great vaccination rates in Sandpoint, but we really want to encourage people to get the full course of your vaccine. So those of you who have had one dose of your Pfizer or Moderna, please, even if it's been months and months, go and get your second dose, because we know specifically with this Delta virus, you will get a lot more protection if you complete that series and get your second dose.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Paul, do we have any questions that we can help answer?
Well, I had a couple that were emailed to me. So one of them was, I'm already vaccinated. How am I getting sick?
Yeah, that's great. Go for it, Lisa.
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. And this is a question we're getting a lot. And anytime in a community when you have a surge in cases like this, we're going to see more cases across the population, vaccinated, unvaccinated, because we know these vaccines aren't 100%. They protect really well, but it's still possible to get a breakthrough case. The most important point that Heidi made is we know that in individuals that have been vaccinated, if they still get COVID, they're going to be less sick generally, less chance of being in the hospital, on a ventilator, and even dying. So you're still giving yourself that protection. And we also know that there's a lot of long-term complications that can happen after COVID. So all of those reasons, it's important to get vaccinated. The other thing I would mention, if there are individuals that happen to get infected during this surge with the Delta variant in the community, we want to encourage them, if they haven't been vaccinated, to once they're out of quarantine, which their symptoms are gone, to consider getting vaccinated. Because even if they've had the infection, getting vaccinated will give them additional protection, potentially longer protection, and even protection against different variants as they come forward.
And, Paul, I just wanted to throw a time period and some statistics for those that want to know, well, how many? So from January 1st to July 24th, 2021, so this year for the last 7 months, we've had 589 total hospitalizations. That was 589 is the total hospitalizations. Of that, 552 or 94% were unvaccinated. So that kind of goes back to our comments about vaccination really, really helps, but it's not 100%. And Lisa, I'll throw it back to you in a second to talk about the efficacy. 37 individuals were vaccinated and they were hospitalized. That's called a breakthrough case. That's 6%. So going back again from January to July, of the hospitalizations, 94% of them were unvaccinated and 6% of them were vaccinated. 94 unvaccinated, 6% unvaccinated. Lisa, do you want to talk about the efficacy of the Pfizer and Moderna and Janssen?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that when the vaccines first got rolled out, they had great efficacy, even up into the mid-90%, which was even better than we had imagined. Johnson & Johnson was a little lower, but again, covering for severe disease, it was, again, up in the 90s. With each of these variants, the vaccines respond a little bit differently. And with the Delta variant, we do see a decrease in efficacy across all three of the vaccines. The good news is that for Pfizer and Moderna, our mRNA vaccines, although we do see a decrease, so down into the high 80s for symptomatic disease or if you get COVID and have symptoms, even minimal. But again, we keep talking about that severe disease, hospitalization, and death. They're still covering into the low 90 to 94% range. And so we're still getting that coverage for the things that we really care about. I mentioned earlier that with these mRNA vaccines, after the first dose, you get some coverage, but definitely not enough. And with the Delta variant, after that first dose, your coverage is down like 33% efficacy. And it then jumps up into the 88% for symptomatic disease after your second dose. So just really encouraging people to follow through and get that second dose. With Johnson & Johnson, we don't have as much data with the Delta variant because most of our data is coming out of Europe, where the Delta variant has been circulating a bit longer, and they currently don't have the Johnson & Johnson. But they have a similar vaccine called AstraZeneca that we're kind of following. And we do know that although Johnson & Johnson is not as efficacious against the Delta, again, for that severe illness, it's up in the high 80s to 90%. So encouraging people, please get vaccinated. And, you know, if you need more information to become comfortable or gain confidence in these vaccines, reach out to the Eastern Aleutian Tribes. They have a great resources, your public health nurses, and then we're also here for any support that people might need for extra education, and I'm happy to come and talk to any of your group.
So, Lisa, I know that two of the most common questions that we receive, I remember at AM, Dr. Zink and I, we were traveling to Utqiagvik 2 weeks ago, and these were two of the most common questions in Fairbanks as well. And so, Lisa, if you could answer, what are the ingredients in the vaccine? And then the second question is, what if I'm thinking about getting pregnant or I am pregnant, is it safe to get vaccinated?
Yeah, and these are two great questions. So the ingredient list for these vaccines is very short. They're not much in these vaccines. There's some salts, some sugars, a little bit of lipid or fat. One of those is a stabilizer called PEG, P-E-G. And then you have your recipe, your mRNA recipe that then teaches your immune system how to fight this virus. So there's not much in these vaccines. And we can provide a list if anyone wants the full ingredient list, but it's minimal. Same thing goes for Johnson & Johnson Janssen. I think it's important to remember that in past years with vaccines, they were complicated, had lots of ingredients. Sometimes you had live viruses. These new viruses for the COVID-19 are very simple, very elegant, and that's why they are so efficacious and work so well. So the second question, talking about pregnancy and fertility, such an important question that women and families are kind of wrestling with, and we follow this data very closely because it's important to us in the public health world. Over the last few months, we've seen so much data coming out indicating what a risk it is to women if you are pregnant and get infected with the COVID virus. Unfortunately, we've seen that both women and the unborn child have a huge increase in morbidity and mortality, which means increase in infections, hospitalizations, being on a ventilator, preterm labor or birth, and even death in both the mom and the unborn infant. So we take this really seriously. We have a lot of new data out that shows us that women that are pregnant that choose to get vaccinated have two ways to protect their baby. So those protective antibodies that her body makes gets passed to the baby through the bloodstream and also through the breast milk. And so we have two great ways to protect these newborns. When babies are first born, they have a really immature immune system, so they're kind of reliant on mom, and they're especially prone to respiratory infections. So that includes COVID. And so more of a reason to have women consider getting vaccinated. The World Health Organization, the CDC, the Fertility Medicine Society, American College of OBGYN had all said we want women to consider getting vaccinated to protect themselves. Just this last week, the American College of OBGYN came out with a stronger statement saying, we recommend that all pregnant or breastfeeding women get vaccinated. And that's because we've looked at all the safety data. We have data on over 136,000 women that chose to be vaccinated during pregnancy and have sent that data into the CDC, and a bunch of ongoing studies that have helped us kind of guide these recommendations that we're seeing from the American College of OBGYN. We recommend that women talk with their OB provider, kind of do that shared decision-making. If you have more questions, they're a great resource. Sometimes in Sandpoint, it means your OB provider is far away, but these providers are happy to do telehealth visits and talk through these issues with women. So, and we're happy to answer any questions regarding that as well.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. So I want to transition because I know we've talked a lot about the importance of being vaccinated, and You know, if you're fully vaccinated like I am, there are still breakthrough cases. You can still get sick with COVID, but it's going to be milder. Your chances of being hospitalized are less, and your chances of death are less. So I know that we're on the radio today because Sandpoint is experiencing an outbreak, and again, I'm so sorry you guys are experiencing that. But we talk about a lot of other layered approaches, things that you can do. And so I want to talk about what to do if you are sick. So it can be really confusing. I'm going to try to keep it really, really simple. And again, if you have questions, if you could email Paul or tell the radio host those questions, we really do want to hear from you. We want to answer those questions. So let's talk about what to do if you are sick. So let's go through if you are vaccinated. Okay, so if you are vaccinated and you test positive, we're still going to ask you to isolate for 10 days until you are cleared by public health or Eastern Aleutian Tribes. And we want to make sure that you're 24-hour symptom-free before you go back to work. Okay, again, we're talking about vaccinated, what to do if you're sick. If you are exposed to COVID and you have no symptoms and you're vaccinated, we want you to carefully monitor yourself for 14 days. If you're vaccinated and you have no symptoms, just monitor yourself. 14 days, quarantine is not required, okay? If you're vaccinated and you're exposed to COVID and you have any symptoms, a little runny nose, an ache, you just don't feel good, you feel a little off, please, please, please get tested and wait for your test results. And if you're positive, please continue isolating. If you're negative, just stay home until the symptoms resolve and talk to your clinical provider in Sandpoint on sort of next steps. So that's what to do if you're vaccinated. And again, thank you so much. 87% first dose in the Aleutians East. That's fantastic. Thank you for getting vaccinated. Let's talk about what to do if you're sick and you're unvaccinated. If you're unvaccinated and you test positive, you need to isolate for 10 days and you need to, and that will depend on your symptoms. You know, we want you to be 24 hours fever-free before leaving isolation. 10 days. Unvaccinated, if you're exposed to COVID and you have no symptoms, we want you to get tested and we want you to quarantine. This is the big difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated. You must quarantine if you are not vaccinated. Quarantine, the best quarantine is 14 days. You can quarantine for 7 days and followed by testing, and we can go into those testing. Lisa, if you want to pull up the testing strategy, that would be great. But we want you to test, and it's 2 negative tests within 24 hours, and I can't remember the other option off the top of my head. Maybe Lisa can pull that up. Go for it, Lisa.
I was just going to say, you can get tested in 3 to 5 days.
There you go.
Would be your second testing.
Yep, there you go. Perfect. Thank you. If you are exposed, also known as a close contact, so if you're exposed, you're identified as a close contact, and you're not vaccinated, we want you to get tested, and we want you to isolate. And as a close contact, if you test positive, then you start your 10 days of isolation. If you're negative and you have some symptoms, we want you to stay home until you finish that quarantine. It's really going to depend if, you know, how you're feeling. If you, if you test negative, you still need to stay in quarantine. If you test positive, then you go into isolation. Again, testing is really important. If you have any symptoms and you're unvaccinated and you're not a close contact, please, please, please get tested. Paul, do you want to talk about the testing resources in Sandpoint?
That'd be great. So we do have it. So our routine clinic hours, you know, I just ask people in Sandpoint to call the clinic. It's speak to the front desk, speak to our RN case manager. They'll get you scheduled and let you know when you can come in. They're doing testing as we speak now on the radio. But I did, it's interesting you talked about testing. A question just came in. Should people coming back into town start isolating and getting tested again as a normal practice?
So what I would like to just recommend and remind is that we have free testing at the Anchorage Airport. Fairbanks, Juneau, there's actually 10 airports, but predominantly I think if you're flying to Sandpoint, you're going to fly through Anchorage. Please get tested a couple of days before you travel to Sandpoint to make sure that you're negative. If you don't have that opportunity, definitely, and you've been traveling in a community with high transmission, get tested and quarantine yourself in your home until you find out that test result.
So another question was, what about those home test kits?
There's a lot of great home test kits. I don't have a list off the top of my head. Lisa, I'm not sure if you remember. I know Vault is one of them. There's a lot of tests that you can purchase at Fred Meyer's. I just saw at Fred Meyer's in Anchorage you can purchase Abbott Bionex Now. You can also purchase them at Costco. Take them home. If it's an antigen, you follow the instructions. You can find out if you're positive or negative at home. There's home test kits where you take the swab yourself, you follow the directions, you put it in the mail, you send it to a lab, and they run that test result. That's called a molecular test, two different types of tests. Testing has come a long way over the past 19 months. They're both really good.
Yeah, I agree. And for individuals, even if you, in a small community like Sandpoint, granted, it balloons in the summer with all the fishing boats, but in a small community like that, you can also just get surveillance testing on yourself if you're concerned, even though you haven't had a known close contact. And we have seen with this surge in cases that, you know, individuals seeking medical care have no symptoms will end up being positive. So just so we're not spreading it throughout the community, have a low threshold to test yourself.
So Heidi and Dr. Rabinowitz, so this is Paul. I'm fully vaccinated, and I'm here in Anchorage. I'm not in Sandpoint, but I wear a face mask whenever I'm outside of my home bubble. Is that something you recommend that's continued into our Aleutians Eastboro region?
Well, thank you. I appreciate wearing a mask. So, Lisa, why don't I can talk about my personal life and what I do in my personal life, and then, Lisa, why don't you talk about what you do at home? So I am happily married. I have two kids. I have a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old. My 13-year-old is fully vaccinated. My 8-year-old is not. We have made a family decision that we mask when we go into public settings because we live in Anchorage. And there's a high transmission. There's a lot of cases circulating in Anchorage. I want to protect myself, and I want to protect my youngest son who's not vaccinated. So when I go to the grocery store, when we go out into public settings, we always wear a mask. When I travel, and I have been traveling just a little bit in-state, I have not traveled out-of-state, I test before I travel, and then I test after I arrive back home just to make sure that I don't bring COVID into the community I'm traveling to and that I don't take it back to my family. So that's what I do on my personal life. Lisa, do you want to talk about what you do with masking?
Yeah, and I think one of the most important things is that everybody's bubble looks a little bit different. So as Heidi mentioned, she has a child that isn't eligible yet to be vaccinated. Other people may have higher risk individuals in their bubbles, people that have immune compromise, undergoing chemotherapy, all those things take into account kind of your decision moving forward. For myself, working in the emergency department, I've seen an increase in COVID cases. So I'm being cautious in my personal life for myself, but also so I'm not inadvertently spreading COVID to other people. So I'm masking. I have stopped, you know, going to eat dinner at a friend's house that, you know, I was doing last month. My daughter, in her internship, just flew to Kotzebue, and similar to Heidi, she tested before she went. I had her wear her mask on the plane and get tested when she got back. So I think we're all navigating this in different ways and just figuring out the best way to keep yourself safe, your community safe as we move forward. The good thing is we know masks work. Like last winter, we hardly saw any influenza and RSV because everyone was masking. And so we know they work. Everyone wants to be done with the mask for sure. It's been a long pandemic, but we do have tools that work. So just continuing to do that, you know, isolation when you can, masking, being outdoors, not getting in groups, it's important and it does work. And I know Sandpoint has done well with this in the past.
So I know it's been a long 16 months, 17 months. It's just, and people are tired. Like we've seen, there was a little, people stopped masking for a while. But it seems like you said, masks work. And I'm going to emphasize that mask work, mask work, mask work. Please wear them. I know I had another text a moment ago. Here in Sandpoint, no one's wearing masks in the post office or the store. Help us. I'll just emphasize again, masks work. Wear your mask. Get vaccinated. You've heard what Heidi and Dr. Rabinowitz have said, so please, please, please. We are there as a resource. Call the clinic for help. Call the clinic if you have questions. Call the office in Anchorage. You know, like I said, Heidi and Dr. Rabinowitz were only called an hour ago, and they've jumped on this phone call and this radio spot to help us all. And so I do have another question. Are you ready? I guess this could be for either party. This one is, text message, is there any movement towards making the Pfizer and or Moderna vaccine available for ages 2 through 11? And Heidi, since you said you had a child under the age that can get vaccinated, maybe this is for you.
Yeah, I will answer that vaccine question on the 2 to 11. But I want to back up and talk about fatigue real quick because, Paul, I hear you. To the residents of Sandpoint, I feel for you. I'm living in Anchorage, and we have a lot of cases here. And I really enjoyed May and June where I didn't have to wear a mask. It felt different in a grocery store not wearing a mask. I had to get used to that because I wore it for so long. This is not forever. When there's increased cases, we layer our approach to making sure that I'm safe, our families are safe, our friends, our coworkers are safe, and then we're not transmitting the virus to each other. When there's low cases, then we can peel back those layers. So I think it's really important to think about this is not forever. We're going to be ebbing and flowing as we add on these layers of approach to protect ourselves and our family, and then we're going to peel them back when we have lower cases. So just keep that in mind because this is going to be with us for a while until the whole world is vaccinated. In terms of vaccine, Lisa is going, she'll be able to answer the FDA process in terms of where that is at. I can tell you that my husband, who is a provider, he and I talk about the importance of vaccine. There's a lot of vaccine-preventable diseases, so we vaccinated for everything, and I'm thankful to have healthy kids. So when vaccine does become available, we plan to get my 8-year-old vaccinated. Lisa, do you want to talk about where the FDA is at with Pfizer and their review process for the 2 to 11-year-olds or 12-year-olds?
Yeah, and this is especially important as we're kind of moving into fall and looking at school and getting kids back together, so we're all kind of anxious to see when this is going to happen. It's important to remember that we're kind of lucky now for this younger age group. We've now had over 334 million doses given in the U.S. So we know a lot about these vaccines. We now know how safe they are. And so the FDA is following all that data as we make that decision for the younger kids. They have just working on both of the studies for Pfizer and Moderna with that 2 to 11 age group. They increased the size of those studies slightly last month, and that's just, again, to make sure we have all the safety data we need to feel comfortable authorizing these for kids. So we expect to have that data in the late fall, early winter. And there has been some indication that we could get data even sooner than that in the next few months. So we are hoping to at least have some data back in a few months and then hoping for authorization very soon. We will definitely keep everyone updated as we move forward because this is very important to us. The younger age groups, younger than 2 years old, that data will take a little bit longer because they have to really dose adjust for that smaller weight of the younger children. So those studies just take a lot longer. So we don't expect those in the wintertime.
Lisa, do you want to talk about booster doses? I know that question comes up a lot as well. And then I can talk about access to vaccines.
Absolutely. So there's been a lot of talk in the media about booster shots or additional shots. And, you know, we're all kind of interested in this. As an emergency doctor who got my vaccine right when it was available back in December, I want to make sure I'm still protected. And so they're watching all of this very closely. And there's kind of two reasons we would consider booster doses. One is if we start to see waning immunity. So we don't have quite the immunity that we had when we first got vaccinated. The second reason is if we get a variant that really isn't covered by the vaccines. At this point, we're still good to go in terms of these variants are fairly well covered by these vaccines that we have. So we're looking at immunity and kind of who's at risk if we do see waning immunity. Right now, the most important group they're kind of looking at is what I mentioned earlier, kind of immune-compromised individuals that maybe they got vaccinated but didn't get quite the immune response that somebody didn't get if they didn't have an immune compromise. So those individuals the FDA is looking at, there's consideration for boosters to that group, but they're still looking at the data and they have not authorized any boosters. So the CDC has come out very strongly saying, we're looking at this data, but as of this point, boosters are not warranted, and with this emergency use authorization, they're not part of that agreement. So we will, again, continue to update everyone if boosters do become necessary.
And so what I wanted to just make sure everyone was aware, we have plenty of the vaccine. We have plenty of Moderna, Pfizer, and the Johnson & Johnson, which is the single dose. If for those that are not vaccinated, please talk to your clinician in Sandpoint or your community. Get educated and please get vaccinated.
And can I jump onto that?
Sure.
Like she said, we have the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And although in the beginning of the vaccine stage, we were really trying hard to make sure we use that entire vial, at this point we're not looking at it like that. If we have one person that comes in and wants to be vaccinated, we're not turning them away. We are a roll-up-your-sleeve organization, so we'll poke with just one person, or if 20 of you come in, we'll do that as well. So I have a great team out there throughout the region. And they're doing a great job. They're right in the thick of it in Sandpoint. King Cove had a blip last week. They went through a scare. But the group at Eastern Aleutian Tribes, we're here. We're here to help you out as a community. Mm-hmm. We'll get you vaccinated. Roll up your sleeve. Say yes. It doesn't just protect yourself. It protects everyone else as well. And I do hear, I wanted to just emphasize, wear your face mask right now. It's definitely, I'm making that recommendation. I'm not a clinician, but I'm going to throw that out there. today, I just wanted to just give a number. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cases this afternoon. And we're using the Abbott ID Now test machine, the analyzer. So it does take some time for our staff to swab and get those processed. And we're continuing to do that. They're working very hard right now to make sure that people get tested when they need to be tested. So please, at Sandpoint, King Cove, everyone in the Aleutians Eastboro region, if you are in need of a test, call the clinic, please. Supplies, we have supplies. If they run low, they notify us and we get more to them. We are there to protect you all and help. And I have another question for you that just came in.
Oh, yeah.
Where did it go? How can I safely travel for medical and personal reasons out of Sandpoint?
That's a great question. Wearing a mask, it is required on aircraft. So wear a mask at the airport before boarding is really important. Make sure that you wash your hands and make sure that your mask is well-fitting. I think it's really important that that well-fitting mask protects you.
Excellent. Let's see, did I have another one? There was another one. Here we go. Do vitamin C, D, or zinc, not Dr. Zinc, help protect? I guess she does as well.
She's amazing.
So that's a great question. There's lots of studies going on out there about different supplements and do they help. There was lots of talk about vitamin D in the beginning of the pandemic, and some of the data conflicts each other. My advice to people is eat a healthy diet. If you want to take a daily vitamin supplement, I think that's fine. It can only help you. But there's no specific supplements that we have found help specifically with COVID. So, you know, getting good sleep, exercising, eating a good diet are things that generally help keeping people healthy. And if you do get sick, helping you through that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I really think that we've hit all of them. Austin, are there any more questions coming through on your end through Facebook?
No, we haven't received anything from any other ones that I sent you, but I was curious personally if I could ask, you know, if you do test positive or even if you haven't tested positive yet, when would be a good time to maybe if you see respiratory conditions or symptoms increasing that you should say, okay, I might need to go to the next level outside of just quarantine, but maybe get some more significant help?
That's a great question, Austin. Yeah. I think you guys have a great clinic in Sandpoint, and those providers I've worked with closely over many years, and they are your first resource with this. So if someone starts to feel short of breath, starts to breathe really rapidly, any kind of confusion, those are things that we want you to go into the clinic right away. Keeping hydrated, all those things will help, but we need to check your oxygen level, make sure your lungs are working okay. And so I think those are the main reasons I would send someone into the clinic. And I would ask people to don't wait until you're really, really sick. Go in early if you're starting to feel more symptoms. Get checked out because, again, the clinicians in Sandpoint do a great job.
I would also add, I think a year ago there was concern, you know, should I test, should I not? There's not enough testing resources. We have plenty of testing resources. So my family, as I told you and shared with you, my 8-year-old is not vaccinated, and they're going to start school August 13th in a couple of weeks, or August 17th. So as a family, we decided that we're going to do surveillance testing, and so twice a week we're just going to go through the local drive-through and get tested just to make sure that he is safe and to identify if he's positive early. He's going to be wearing a mask every day to school because, again, that's a layered approach to help protect him. So the good news is there's there's lots of testing available, and I think that's what Paul had mentioned before is the lots of availability. You guys have Abbott Now machines, which is a rapid test. You don't have to wait a couple of days. You wait, you know, I think 15, 30 minutes, and you can find out the status of your test results.
And again, just call the clinic. Reach out to your local clinic, whether it's in Sandpoint or King Cove or Falls Pass, Accutane, Cold Bay, ADAC, or Whittier, or Nelson Lagoon. We have the supplies, and we're constantly resupplying. So please don't, if you have five people in your family and you're worried that you're going to use up our supplies, don't worry. Just get tested. Wear your face mask. Let's see. We've been doing this for 45 minutes. How about we give them some real pearls of wisdom, Heidi and Dr. Rabinowitz?
I'll start, and I'll let Heidi finish out. I just want people to know you're not alone. We are here to support you from the state public health. Eastern Aleutian Tribes is there, your public health nurses. There's lots of resources, and we're ready to help where we can. So although this seems daunting and scary when there's a surge in cases in such a small community, you guys know how to work together, communicate well, because you are a small community. That's how you make it through every winter, helping each other out, helping find resources for individuals that have a harder time navigating the system. That's what's going to get everyone through this. So, and as Paul said, mask up.
Thanks, Lisa. I would just say that I'd reiterate, you're not alone. And I know this comes as a surprise, but again, this is just a period of time. It is not going to last forever. Together, we can decrease cases if we work together. Vaccine is our strategy, first and foremost. Second, test. Even if you know, if you have symptoms, test, test, test. If you're a close contact, make sure you test. If you test, you need to quarantine yourself until you get that test result. Masks are a strategy. I encourage you to wear masks when you go into a group setting. When you're outside enjoying the beautiful weather and you don't need to wear a mask if you're social distancing and away from large groups of people. And then keep your bubble small while there's a lot of cases. And when cases go down, again, you don't need to use those strategies. So remember, this is going to ebb and flow depending on the number of cases that are in your community.
Well, I for one want to thank both of you, one for taking time out of your busy day on such short notice. I know this has been very helpful. I don't just think. And I'll just reiterate, mask up, call the clinic and get vaccinated. Call the clinic and get tested. Get tested before you fly into Sandpoint or anywhere in the region, King Cove, you know, Accutane, False Pass, Cold Bay, Nelson Lagoon. Like they said, the testing up here is ample as well, so we can get it done. We can lower these numbers by working together. Just right now, we're back to 6 feet apart.
Thank you guys so much for coming together and for listening. We are here to support you. Just reach out to Paul, and we're happy to get on the radio and talk again next week if that's helpful.
Thank you both. Austin, thank you very much as well. Really appreciate you getting us on.
Thank you. And if you guys want to come on again anytime, just let us know. We appreciate you coming on the air.
Excellent.
Thanks so much.
Standpoint, mask up, get vaccinated, get tested.
And there we go. That was the end of the conversation there from Paul Mueller and the people at the COVID task force. We are currently experiencing a bit of an outbreak here in Sandpoint. As Mr. Mueller said, there are at least six known cases that have been identified today. I think there were three active before this, total now of nine active cases, I think, on the island. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more that come after this, too. So get yourself tested. Be careful. This could be the first big outbreak that we're experiencing. But, you know, as everyone said, this is going to come and go. We're going to ebb and flow. Be careful. Be safe. Use your protective measures, mask up, social distance, get vaccinated if you're not vaccinated already. If you have any questions, we'd love to pass those on to Mr. Mueller any way we can. We're going to go back and play the music. This interview is online here in just a few minutes if you'd like to go and get it. Here's a couple songs, and then we're going to go to the top of the hour with news from NPR.